I have no apprehension that our relations with the United States would in any way suffer because of the change of administration. Well, our relations at the people-to-people level are of great significance. The fact that there is a large community in the United States, people of Indian origin, the way they have flourished, the way they have contributed to the growth of the American economy, I think has changed the image of India. And I often say to our guests from abroad that these days there is hardly a middle-class family in India who doesn't have a son, a son-in-law, a brother, or a sister-in-law in the United States. And I think that's a great incentive for our two countries to look to further development of our relationships. We are a nuclear weapon state, but we are a responsible nuclear power. We have an impeccable record of not having contributed to unauthorized proliferation of these weapons of mass destruction. So I think India does require, I think, greater consideration of the global community. India needs to industrialize. India needs to operate on the frontiers of modern science and technology. And therefore, restrictions on dual-use technologies affect our growth. We need an annual growth rate of 8 to 9% to get rid of chronic poverty, ignorance, and disease, which still afflict millions and millions of people in our country. And in that context, industrialization and transfer of dual-use technologies can play a very important role. Well, lax regulation and monetary policies which are far too liberal, they had overstayed. They should have been tightened much earlier, but they were not tightened. And therefore, this coupled with laxity of regulation contributed to these bubbles which had to burst. Well, I don't want to wish to comment on individual countries' policies, but certainly we were more prudent. Events have shown that this prudence has paid us rich dividend. Our banking system has not been exposed to the distressed assets of the type the banking system in other countries have been disposed, and therefore our natural prudence plus, I think, the good supervision of our banking system by the regulatory authorities have contributed to this favorable outcome. There is a temporary setback, there's a temporary questioning about the relevance of the American model, but I have seen these things much before. I think way back in the late 60s, a very famous economist at Yale, Professor Robert Triffin, wrote that very famous book, Gold and the Dollar Crisis, in saying the days of dollar as the reserve currency of the world are over, that the United States should take a lead to move to a more neutral reserve asset. But things changed, and the United States recovered from difficult economic situation. It has shown remarkable capacity to bounce back. The entrepreneurial spirit, which is a hallmark of the American enterprise system. I have no doubt that these things are not permanent, irreversible shifts, but that the American economy has the capacity to bounce back to its normal growth path. No, the power to create money is an index of power of nations. And as far as I can see right now, there is no substitute for the dollar. I think even the Chinese are hesitant. After all, the fact that they hold $2.5 trillion of reserve assets, they have not disposed of even a fraction of them. That is a measure of the confidence that the world has in the dollar. There are problems. There is the confidence problem, which can be very destabilizing. But my own feeling is that we have not entered an era of irreversible shift in economic strength of the United States. Well, I think the rise of China has contributed handsomely to sustaining the growth momentum in the world economy. And as far as India is concerned, I have said it many times that India and China are not in competition. We believe that there is enough economic space for both our countries to realize the growth ambitions of our respective countries, and that's the attitude which guides us in dealing with China. Well, I have no hesitation in saying that I think development in India cannot be a carbon copy of what happens in China. The Chinese system is very different. We are a functioning democracy. Here, even if you want to acquire land, I think you run into serious problems, and that's a part of operating a democracy. And democracy is slow-moving. I have always believed that it may be slow-moving in the short run, but in the long run, an arrangement which has the backing of the people at large would prove to be more durable.